Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
We spoke today, so the reason why we are here, I said that to the team, the reason why we are here, it's not Istanbul. It's not Inter Milan. The reason why we're here is Monaco, is Liverpool, is Tottenham, is Lyon, is a final against Chelsea loss, and the last minute against Madrid when it was closed in 5 minutes. That it hurts in that moment. In that moment it hurts, but now it doesn't hurt. But that helps us, you know. That helps us to win against Inter Milan. It's a process. And a club like you never use, for Madrid is not a problem, for Bayern Munich, for Barcelona, for, you know, for the big, big clubs. It's European competition, Liverpool, for example. So they're used to that. But for us, it's, everything was new, you know, to feel, oh, we can do it. We can believe. We can go. And everywhere we can win it. And it's not just bring Pep here and immediately it happened. It's a process to change it. And sometimes we were closer, sometimes we were back. But at the end, it's a process. That's why here we arrived to finish 8 years of job with a lot of disappointments, a lot, but it's part of life, it's part of the sport.
It's part of life, it's part of the sport. That was Pep Guardiola before Everton, and that helped give me a revelation, because we have been saying, it's all vibes this season. It's all vibes this season. And you can say the general amount of City fans have not been vibes this season. I've been trying to, like, get at you and be like, no! Enjoy what you're seeing. Be in the moment. Ride the wave. We're still new into this. This Pep's comment, like, helped me realize that. Of course, everyone is still waiting for the drop-off. Of course, everyone is still waiting for something bad to happen. No Kevin, no problem. Doku dropped out. Oh my goodness. Haaland, ankle. What is wrong with us? Still, look at us. Look at us. The game in hand. 5 points behind. What a time. 2024. New year. New revelations. I'm going to back off you guys. Not everyone can understand. Not everyone can see that we're in the middle of greatness. We are still new on the block, but things change quickly. People need to recognize Manchester City. Hell, you got to recognize Manchester City. We got this. That's all I gotta say. This is just unscripted, off the dome. I listened to this Pep thing like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. This is the first time that revelation just hit me listening to that. Just like, we gotta grow. We're all growing in this together, huh? It's crazy. We make an art, baby.
I hate the most when you don't want the ball. I hate it. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again. We win four of the last five Premier League, guys. Four of the last five Premier League. Are we going to do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, six-tuples, and seven-tuples. So,
don't do it. Hey, hey, and welcome to episode 82 of Shades.
A lot of niggas debating my numero, not the three, not the two, I'm the UNO.
We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men's and women's game, spanning from the Atlantic Ocean to the Rocky Mountains. We're making art over here, capitalize the A. I am Crumb Chocolate. I am with Tarek and Lando. How's it going, Show Rose?
What's up? Glad to be back. Welcome to 2024. Happy New Year.
Let's get it. Happy New Year. Good to see you, boys.
How was your December 31st? Was it chill and relaxed? Y'all are both the family man's in the pot. I assume it was pretty chill, right?
So for me, that's my birthday, yeah. Right? So, we went out, went to dinner and that kind of thing. I have a great nephew who was born on that day 3 years ago. So we share a birthday now. So we made mostly like the first part of it is all about him go do kind of like the whole Chuck E. Cheese type thing. This is like the first year that I think he was really into, ooh, it's my birthday. So we got to spend a lot of just time with family. I've been a little under the weather over the break. So just trying to continue to get over that.
That means we got spicy, Tarek.
Speaking
we
of
spicy, Tarek,
we can only hope.
You know
we can only
means?
Hope.
He's going to be a
nah,
short.
Not really.
That's what you say. And then all of a sudden you're just
nah,
like,
see, I'm on antibiotics, so I'm all of the spice and the hate and the anger and the whatever is leaving my body as we speak. The antibiotics is taking it away, so it's all rainbows and whatever.
And also a shout out to you and your great nephew's birthday. There you go. Lando, how was your New Year's Eve?
Low-key as possible, my guy. Barely even stayed up for it. I had a couple beers, relaxed, did some stuff around the house. I mean, I'm just blessed to be around with you guys, blessed to be able to think about fun stuff about our club, watching sports, laughing at college football and all the circumstances and situations, all that good shit. But, yeah, that's about it, man. How about you? What about you, Kronk? How was your New Year's?
I got lit as fuck.
I experienced
the Kronk chocolate life. I went to a friend's house. There was only like 8-10 of us, really. But great spread of food. Great drinks. They had this... shout out to Polish people. Y'all definitely know how to party. But they had this alcohol that her dad makes, and one was lemon and the other one was cherry, and the cherry legitimately was just like drinking cherries. It was beautiful, delicious, dangerous. I had too many of those bitches. It was a good time. I woke up hurting. I'm pretty sure I didn't wake up until like 11. It was wild. And if you know me, I'm up at like 6.
That's hibernation. 11 a.m. is like a hibernation for you.
I was dead. Oh, man. But before we get into anything at all, what I need for you to do right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up for us. Show some love. Leave a comment on what you thought of the episode. Maybe retort something one of us said. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods. I don't know why I said it like that. Any podcast streaming service that allows you to rate, we need that 5-star rating immediately. Please and thank you. This stream is Thursday, the most dangerous show about football. Nico Calabria, who is an amputee soccer player who actually plays for the USA national team,
That's gold.
Double, in fact, he led the New England Revolution APT Soccer Club to win 2023's inaugural Soccer Cup competition.
Oh.
And then we're going to have Kevin Citizen, who is our city guest, and Zach Lowy. Yes, that's Zach Lowy, most dope football writer, contributor. Very excited to have these guests on. It's going to be a good time. No topics off limits. No thoughts held back. It's a good time. What's happening to our lit stream? And speaking of, you guys probably will see. I don't know when. I'll probably try to get this episode out immediately. So look out for it. I will be joining. And he takes that chance. It is a Huddersfield Football Club podcast. So I am lucky to be able to connect with him. I'm going to be chatting with Johnny on YouTube. It's going to be a live chat. We'll get to know the team and what we'll be up against this weekend. New breaking bread. I didn't think I was going to be able to find a Huddersfield pod, but there they are, and they actually do great content. I listened to one of their episodes. They seem like some fun dudes. I'm looking forward to connecting with this new community.
That's dope, Kronk. That's dope. Shout out to the guest list that you got going on for Thursday. Great way to start off 2024.
I think so too, man. In today's episode, we'll take a quick look at City winning the Club World Cup, their fifth trophy in 2023. I need to start talking in past tense. This is crazy. And winning the competition officially made Manchester City the best team in the land and in the world. There's a successful week in Premier League football to talk about. Wins against Everton, Sheffield United, shock awe, Premier League applause is where we take a look at our spot in the table and the Premier League overall. Really just kind of laughing at the mediocrity around us. It's crazy. Plan on ending the episode, taking a look at City's match against Huddersfield Town. Then ending the episode, let's look back at 2023. While we're here and maybe what we're looking forward to doing in 2024. And when Sharpie and Tom Bomber are on, I don't care when it is, I'm asking them the same thing. They're not going to get away from this question.
Club World Damn Cup. Skippy.
Yeah. But I had some time off, and we missed the whole Club World Cup. Would like to discuss what that tournament really was for the club. Yes, beating Huara Reds 3-0. Let's try that again. Yes, beating Huara Reds 3-0 and dismantling Fluminense 4-0 in the final was dope. Pep mentioned before the Everton match how the time off in one space, living in luxury, added that part in, brought the whole physio team who could help the players recover in between the lavish environment they were kicking it in, able to play board games together, get to know one each other. Players came in and really weren't able to connect with their new teammates. This was a great chance for City players to step up as their voice in the locker room. They were able to practice. For the rest of the season, the club gets to wear a gold patch all season, baby. Scouser's mad because FA only lets them wear their patch once. Hate the phrase, but I want to piss boil. Cry more. Winning five trophies in one season is incredible. My show bros, what are your thoughts on Manchester City winning the World Cup? Does this add to our status as the new gen footballing giant? Tarek, let's start with you.
Well, you may not want to start with me.
Let's go. No, well, I do.
I guess for me.
Spicy.
No, right? It's not even spicy. I mean, I think the reality is, what does this mean for the club, or what does it add to the club? Nothing really. I mean, coming into this, everyone expected us to win this. Quite honestly, whoever the UEFA Champions League winner is, the expectation is that they're going to win this competition. And so I think the bigger thing is, had we lost it, what that would have said and all of the uproar about, oh, they lost because we come in as such overwhelming favorites. So I don't think that winning this does or, you know, adds anything necessarily other than to say we hold all of these trophies all at once. It's something that our club has never done because we've never had the opportunity. So I'm glad that they went in. They were professional. They handled their business. They took care of it. And we got the win. We walk away with the trophy. But do I think, oh, people are going to see us differently or our stature goes up because of it? No. I think it's just we had to go and win it. And we took care of business. What about you, Lando?
In a listing of all the trophies, it's not one I put very high on the list. But it is one that for a club that wants to solidify itself in the grand scheme of things, we have to notch this on our belt.
And, oh, yeah.
The impact, like you said, there's no question. It's one of those you don't win, it's more of an issue. There's more talk about that, right? Not many people were paying attention to it. Everyone was looking forward to the weekend ball. I can't speak enough about the impact that Kronk mentioned. I mean, the rapport building that gave us. Great content that City, the YouTube channel, put out, if you got to get a chance to see it, where they showed some of that film. Yeah, it was a business trip. We had to handle it. They did live it up a bit, but in good conditions, in a way to where it was structurally, if you've ever been with the unit, if you've ever been with a team, something to what I hope our April opportunity is, a chance to get together, be under the same roof, kind of get some camaraderie, be amongst each other, get that feel, get that chemistry, that vibe, talk. That's great to have and great to see. So I hope that's a huge impact moving forward. Kronk, your thoughts on it?
I love it. Especially because Fluminense, they take it very seriously. Brazil takes it very seriously. It's a lot of smaller countries, not smaller countries, but the smaller like leagues, the less financially supported ones. Like if Uwara Reds beat us and made it through and won, it'd be a big deal to them. Fluminense, it'd be a big deal to them. It matches them. It's just like how people feel about Carabao and all that other stuff. But I notoriously always want to win those as well. So I don't know. Especially because it is a world competition. It takes Manchester City outside of the best team in England conversation. It adds to it on top of it. And it is also something Pep has won elsewhere. A lot of other big clubs have won it. It's just good for us to have it on there. Now, do I care if we win it again? No, not really. But
yeah. But I differ. I disagree. I think anytime we get there, if we got back to a place where we could win this thing again, like we won Champions League, then I would absolutely expect us to win this again.
Yes.
But it would be secondary to getting and winning Champions League first, right? This would just be...
Okay.
I don't want to say fait accompli because that sounds entitled and whatever. We still have to go out there and handle it on the pitch on the day. Anything can happen. But the expectation would be that we win it if we get back to it. But I agree with you 100% on the idea that I think it means so much more to the other teams in the competition. Because like I said, it doesn't matter if it's us, if it's Liverpool, if it's Bayern Munich, if it's Real, whoever's coming out of UEFA, they're going to be expected to win this. So for the teams from South America, CONMEBOL, CONCACAF, or whoever else, when those teams get in, this is a chance for them to see where they measure up. We already know we're the best. We prove that in UEFA Champions League. This is just, okay, in all honesty, it's a lesser competition, but we have to win it to be able to say we're the best in the world because that's what it signifies. But quite honestly, by being the best in Europe, the expectation is that you are the best in the world, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, so let's go here then real quick, because what was the other cup competition that was going on? It was the FA. I don't want to mix it up with the Carabao. Either way, it was the Carabao. Whatever. This competition, we're out. Say this happens again, we're not out of the Carabao or whatever the cup competition is, and we have to choose one or the other, or we have to send like a stronger squad to one or the other. Which one would you choose? Would you much rather go further in the Carabao, or would you much rather want to go further in the Club World Cup? Lando, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, if it's Carabao, then I care about more about the World Cup. The reason is because if it's FA Cup, I want FA Cup more. The FA Cup means more to me. It's more of a higher power ranking for me. So my power ranking would be Premier League number one, Champions League number two, FA Cup number three, and the rest I truly don't give a hulu fuck about. The rest are icing on the cake to hoping for a double. So, yeah. T?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the only thing that plays in the Carabao Cup's favor as far as trophies throughout the course of the years is the very first one, right? And so
I like that. Yeah, I agree.
So,
yeah.
You know, Mourinho was known to try to win that one. He's famous, quote unquote, for trying to win that one because that's the first trophy available. And if we win this, it kind of sets the stage and sets the table for the rest of the trophies, and kind of gives you some momentum going into those. So, yeah, that's why you want to win it, because it kind of gives you momentum going for the rest. But it is, I'm with you on that ranking. It is very much Premier League, Champions League, drop down a little bit, FA Cup, drop down a whole lot. There's a whole lot of space in between there before you get to Club World Cup and or Carabao Cup. Now, if I had to pick between the two of those, I suppose it's hard. They're both. I guess I would pick. I probably would pick the Club World Cup. Just, well, let's say this. This is all based on the, this is all, but no, all of this is based on the previous or this most recent iteration of this thing, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what the new iteration and how we're going to feel about that with it being so much bigger and, you know, the way they're changing it. Maybe this becomes a bigger deal and maybe we want this trophy going forward. But on the old setup, it really doesn't matter. You just want to win it because you're there and you are not winning the Club World Cup is a failure. Not winning Carabao Cup is just like, whatever, we move on.
Right. Yeah. And we should state the bias too, right, Krunk? I mean, we did win the initial inaugural year for the Carabao Cup and went four straight with that hoe. So it's kind of for us. Out of here with that shit, bro.
you scaled up. You started to make more money. You go home. What you did, and now you look back and just like, oh, I remember you. I hope you're doing okay, but that's about it. y'all are brutal. Me, I'm over here still checking in on Carabao, hoping that they're okay. Still like their posts on Instagram. Tell their mom Merry Christmas still on Facebook because we're still friends. Y'all are just brutal over here. Just
like blocked. Yeah, mom, I said Merry Christmas.
Y'all probably have them blocked and stuff. Just like, no, get out of my mind. Yeah, no. Wow. Different people. Couldn't be me.
It's a story I pass. Every time that story comes up on IG, I just pass it. I keep it moving. I check the other stories around it. I'm checking FAs, seeing who's posted the latest. Have you noticed, though, legit, the UEFA post on IG and Twitter? Every time they give a little bit of love to City, I'm just like, oh, it's his hits different as champions.
It does. It does. I that's why when Sharpie was like, hey, if they win, you got to stop booing. I was like, fine. But no, I am. I am fine.
Fine.
It's like, it's all old news now. We shouldn't be booing it at all. Like, move on, people. And I will say, I will only put the Premier League over the Champions League this season. Next year, I now want to just win the Champions League forever and eternity.
Really?
Yeah, I want to get that. I want to catch up to Real Madrid, and that includes a lot of winning. You got to win a lot for that. So,
see, I'm the opposite. I'd do one more Champions League and then fuck off. I don't want anything to do with corrupt Europe play. I just want to dominate England year in and year out. I want to make it a fucking Farmers League. I want them to cry, and cry. That would be my dream.
Wow, that was scary. But
again, with all the changes that are about to happen to the setup and effectively the Super League Lite that we're moving to, model that we're moving to, I don't even know how to feel about it anymore because it's like a totally different competition. You know, it's still UEFA, it's still, you know, whatever, but I don't even know how to feel. It's like, of course you want to win it, but does it like start over? Are people like, okay, this is the new setup where whoever wins it is the first time winner over this thing? Or is it like, oh, well, City now has two Champions Leagues, even though Champions League is completely different than what it was when we won the first one? I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it yet. I guess we got to get there first, but let's win this last one before all those other changes come in, so that we we can decide how we want to feel about it.
Oh, man. Well, let's get to City Everton. That was a nice little appetizer. That was a nice little conversation. I appreciate y'all. Starting lineup for City versus Everton was Ederson, Ake, Akanji, Stones, Walker, Rodri, Nunez, Grealish, Foden, Silva, and Alvarez. Everton in a downward trend after 5 straight wins and clean sheets. Hoping to draw a little bit of that magic and upsetting the treble winners on the road, City were, after winning the World Cup. How worried about City's form were you before kickoff, Landa?
Buttcheeks clenched. Really? The whole way. A dice ball, Everton, the whole way clinched. Scary about the line. I mean, everything. It's in this moment.
I feel you.
Nothing has been consistent and concrete for me. And kind of started off showing that way. So, yeah. Uh-huh. See, you? What'd you think about it?
I was trying to find my notes, but I don't know. I'm with you. I was 100% like, we have to win this. We cannot. We absolutely cannot, drop points. It can't be a draw. It can't be any of that. We have to get wins, and we have to start our winning run, if you will. Going in, I was nervous. And like you said, I think quite a ways into it before I started to feel a little comfortable.
So goals from Foden, an only goal from Alvarez. Bernardo scored a worldly. The first goal in the match, however, was by Everton from Jack Harrison. Ugh, why does that always happen to me?
You know, I've said this from way back in the beginning. Yes. I hate when former players come back, even especially the ones who never actually were given a chance, because it's just like you just want to prove a point. You want to show something to the fans, to the coaching staff, to everybody to say, oh, you didn't think I had it, but let me show you I'm the man. Right. And so, here comes Jack Harrison doing his thing. And it's like, of course it would be him.
Yeah. So the pre-assist for that comes from Rodri. That whole 15 seconds leading to the goal was so confusing. Akanji's fast pass to Bernardo, who slipped trying to keep the ball in. I don't really know what happened there. Rodri, who somehow wins the ball back, but in doing so slips or kicks the ball towards our goal, setting up Everton for success. Can any of my show bros tell me what happened watching the replay? I still don't really understand what was going on, what anyone was thinking. Lando, wouldn't I cut you off? Was that what you're about to?
No, yeah, you're spot on. The fuckery. I mean, Bernardo, prior to the slipping with the Akanji ball, which Akanji's ball was great. Akanji, going into this, I was worried about it. I really thought I liked, if I can remember my notes correctly, I don't have them in front of me. Akanji played well. And Bernardo, when he slipped in that moment, that's literally the third time that he had slipped in that fucking game. Crazy, whatever pitch conditions or Bernardo just himself. I don't know. We don't need it in that moment. But complete chaos and fuckery. I mean, Rodri lost his balance, essentially played him on perfectly. It just fuckery, man. I didn't know what to think or do, but exactly what I didn't want. And yeah, we gave it everything, and Jack just tapped it in perfectly.
And Tarek, actually, before you get in here, so many of the goals we have given up this season have been so silly, just so silly, just like this. That's why part of me is like, no, we can fix this because it's just so stupid. But is this maybe like an underlying illness type of thing? Like, do you think we can get over this hump, or are we potentially doomed because we just eat a giant, stupid, silly steak right before a match for some reason?
I think that when we are at full strength, we will have enough to, you know, to, and then I think our concentration levels always go up the second half of the season. So I don't expect it to continue long term, but the longer it goes, the more, you know, you put the season's goals at risk, right? There's only so much wiggle room that we're going to have, especially if Liverpool is doing their thing. So every time we drop points in these silly fashions, it just makes our overall goal of winning the league just that much harder. And at some point, you get to the place of no return where you just can't come back from it. I don't know that we'll get to that place, but you definitely got to guard against it. So I think, like I said, I think our concentration levels will go up. But yes, I think we have, especially in this little dip, I'm going to call it, there were quite a few situations where you're like, how did that happen? I mean, it's almost like it's harder to give that up right there than it is to clear the ball or whatever. And so that Rodri, it was just like a mix up at the back, and before you know it, boom, it's just taken off his feet, pass across. So it sucked. It did not ultimately cost us in this match. But again, the more opportunities you give to other teams like that, eventually it will cost you. So we just got to guard against it.
I mean, nothing else happened in the first half. Like, and you hinted at earlier. Was there anything else in particular about the first half that you want to talk about or address, or how were you feeling leading before the second half started?
Yeah, I mean, I nothing comes to mind for me in that first half other than that travesty of just tapping for him. So, I mean, going into that second half, I was really just optimistic about playing our game. And I thought we got to see that, you know. I thought we got to see it was good for us to get a little bit more relief in kind of getting that separation. I think every City fan knowing at 2-1, nothing was done for us. So getting that third and capitalizing on the mistake, and like you said, Bernardo's worldly. I mean, it got just breath of fresh air. First relaxing moment of City ball I've had in a while. Although the World Cup, obviously completely different. I'm talking about just Prem. So, yeah. What about you? What did you think, Kronk?
All right. Well, I mean, I was chill going into the second half. I really wasn't worried about Everton I figured we had at least two more goals in us. Did I think that we were going to be able to hold on to the lead? I wasn't quite sure about that. How about you, Tarek? What were your thoughts leading into the second half?
Going into the second half, I thought there was still time and we would probably figure it out because, again, I think we had been, you know, mostly doing our thing. So my expectation was that we would figure it out. It just, you know, it takes a while. I'm with Lando, though. Even when we got up 2-1, there's still that.
Well,
you don't want to move too far? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to go too far. I must have said something in it to make it. I mean, and we can quickly go over the goals, but I just feel like each one was great enough that we should give it at least a little bit of its.
Talking.
So the 53 minutes. That's the Thunder Bastard from Phil Foden giving City the lead. 1-0. I remember thinking right before he smashed the ball into the goal that everyone on the team seemed annoyed that they hadn't been able to score yet. Phil, he stepped up a lot in the last few weeks. How were we when that goal went in? Because I know I was shocked. I saw him hit it. I saw it flying and go in. But I still was just like, oh, okay.
Go ahead, T. What did you think?
For me, it was... you know, if again, this has been a little while now, but that was the rocket that he hit, right? The one that, that was like, that's insane. I mean, but again, we know that this kid has all the talent in the world. And so when you see him hit it, you're just like, oh my God, because it's such a great ball. But then you're like, yeah, that's Phil. He's got that in his locker. That's Phil. So definitely excited to see the ball go in the back of the net because, again, we needed that goal. And to see, to use a English phrase, Phil Foden taking the game by the scruff of the neck, right? It's like he's just saying, you know what? I'm better than everybody else out here. Let me go do what I do, get us, you know, turn this game around. And I thought that was pretty impressive by him because he's still a young kid and he doesn't normally need to because we have a bunch of killers on the pitch with him. He doesn't need to be just go take the game by the scruff of the neck. But in this case, he did. So long and it's continued. So, but long may it continue.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Frank, I have a confession for you guys, and I don't know if this is the case for you for when you watch City, but
We sure this is a safe space before you go? Are we sure this is a safe space?
Yes, it's totally a safe space with us.
Depends on what you say.
Once it gets out, I mean,
this is just between the three of us, right?
Yes, it's just us.
This might tempt folks to start doing this, and I don't want to do that. So if you have a tradition in how you watch and maintain viewership of City, stop listening now. But again, rate, subscribe, thumbs up.
Hey, please don't tell people to stop listening.
I'm giving you a warning now. I check Twitter constantly, and English Twitter gives you a goal. I would say probably within a good 10 to 15 seconds. When I knew that Phil scored way before I saw it. And this is not the first time that it happens for me. Especially I find out through Twitter. My exact words when Phil hit that, the fuck out of here. From there, I saw it on Twitter, saw that he was going to score. I'm watching like he's getting the ball out there like 10 seconds before the goal comes. Then the ball moves up a little bit and it comes back to him in rotation, but he's moved up since the ball's progressed. And when he gets that first touch, I'm like, nah, this can't be it. Ah, what the fuck? I could not believe that shit, man. Long may it continue. My Lord. Just a... It, deflated. Like that tension was building, that everything was kind of, where is it going to come? We're getting frustrated, like Krunk has noted. And that just little absolute Foden, boom, deflates that ball of tension. We're good. Back in it. Loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. I have gone back to my old ways of not tweeting during the match. I just take notes. I didn't do it for this match, but I did it for the Sheffield, and it felt great. I hop on during halftime, I say my notes, I hop in the group chat real quick, I say my notes, and then I got out of there. Then at the end of the match, when it was all wrapped, I was like, all right, that's fine. I'll go back to hop on. It's social media while watching the match, kind of stressing. It's just not too much. I feel like everybody else's anxiety starts like rubbing off on me, and I'm just trying to cool, enjoy the match, and I'm starting to freak out because everybody else is freaking out and all like that. So I'm just gonna not do that anymore. The city's controversial handball that was earned. Alvarez squeezed under Pickford to give City a 2-goal lead. Ake's shot at goal that hit Onana's arm. People were saying that it was a harsh call to make. I disagree. Onana's arm was in an awkward position because the tackle or block attempt or whatever he was trying to do was clumsy. Any of you feel for Everton in that situation? Did either of you believe that it wasn't a handball or that it was harsh?
No, I didn't think it was harsh at all. I thought, I understand the idea that when you move, your arm is not just stuck at your side, right? So there's some degree of, you know, your body. But the reality is the arm was up by his head, and it stopped the ball from going where it was intended to go. I felt like you had to call it. I would have been upset if they didn't call it, and I would have understood if this was against us. I would have understood exactly why they would have called it. So, you know, I try to be honest about my thoughts on stuff, and I feel like I would have expected this call to be made regardless if it was for us or against us. And I wouldn't. I mean, of course, I wouldn't have liked it. I would have looked at the player and been like, "Ah, you know, keep your arm down or whatever." But I would have understood why the refs would have made the call. I think it was the right call. What about you, Lando?
I can't help but see it when it occurred. And this is a bad time to bring up my Ruben Diaz is the best defender in the world take. But that's exactly a scenario where Ruben Diaz wouldn't get a handball. Because when he does make those dives, he's actually great about having his arms in proper placement. So as much as I want to give him a kudos, even though our defensive team has looked, the defensive side has looked a lot better.
How did we make this Ruben Diaz?
I know, my bad. So valid. But especially since, you know why it's valid? Because we've looked a lot better without him. Last few games, Akanji and Ake, Gvardiol, it's been solid. He came in as a substitute just recently, and I've been okay with that. But anyway, yes, I saw it happen. Come on, dude. Handball. No question.
So I think the bigger question for me wasn't if it was a handball. It was how confident do you feel or did you feel in that moment when Julian stepped up to the penalty spot, because I've always advocated for the strikers that are on the pitch to be the ones that take the penalty, because I think they need to see the ball go in the back of the net, right?
Yeah.
Strikers is a position that, you know, feeds a lot off of momentum and just energy, whatever. And I don't feel like Julian has been at his absolute best recently, and so he hasn't scored in a while, and I felt like, okay, he needs this to kind of break that duck, get that off his back, and kind of give him some mojo back. But Krunk, it sounds like you were very confident.
Yeah.
Lando, were you?
He ain't got his groove back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, T. When it comes to that, I felt like there's a conversation to be had amongst the players, right, in that moment. I think every club goes through this. I think some clubs have an easier decision when it comes to kind of the rankings and the ladder on who's getting it and all that good stuff, right? I think it says something to the team and the level of trust that they have in Julian to give him the shot.
I think if Haaland's on the pitch, of course, this is a non-starter. If Haaland is on the pitch, he takes it. It just is what it is.
Easily.
But with him not being on there, what does that look like with him not being on there? And again, I would be one that would typically advocate for Julian to take it, but I will be honest and say that when it happened and he was going to the spot, I was not confident at all that he was going to make it. I was not. I don't know that there was anyone else on the pitch that I would have wanted to take it, but I wasn't sitting there like, he's got this guaranteed. No, I was like, oh God, please. There was a Liverpool match that happened the other day and Klopp kind of wasn't watching. He had his back turned and waited for that. The roar. That's kind of how I felt on the inside. It's like, oh God, I can't even watch. Just please make it. and normally I go, I don't step up to the pitch or to the spot, but when they're stepping up to the spot, I feel confident, right? I did not feel confident at all. That's just being honest.
I didn't either. Yeah, I'm with
you. I know Krunk felt confident.
No, I didn't.
No?
Oh, really? No, it sounded like you felt confident earlier.
Well, the only reason why I felt he was confident is because Krunk, Mr. Do I need to get the meme up? Can I need to get the photo up? My guy had Jordan Pinford baby arms ready. I mean, within seconds of that shot going in.
The moment the penalty was called, I was like, let me find that meme. Let me just got it ready, and sent. Like I was ready. I was so excited. I was like, yes, I love T-Rex on Pickford or whatever his name is. Man, third and most gorgeous goal of the match. 86 minute goal by Bernardo Silva. Pickford way outside the box trying to play sweeper keeper, backfire. Instead of booting the ball away, he tried to play the ball to a teammate. Alvarez closes down on him, deflecting Pickford's pass. Bernardo intercepts the ball with an Everton player draped on him. He kicked the ball from 20-ish meters away. Lovely curve. The ball sparkled, was floating through the air into the embrace of the net. 3-1. The goal was so beautiful, I ignored it. I took it away in my notes. Just beautiful, gorgeous. Anybody want to wax lyrical about the goal, the moment?
I'll say this. Pressure bust pipes. The fortitude in our team, knowing as fans, 2-1 isn't enough. We knew that. The players, the pressure, the nonstop. The Guardiola's been on our ass for how many years now? We know what the hell he's saying in our heads right now and in that moment. And if I need to go back and look, actually, what was the time that we scored that third goal, Krunk? Do you know? The third goal
86 minutes.
Dude, to be pressing like that, that late in the game, to have that mentality to know that it's not enough, that is a difference maker. That is what Krunk's been saying this whole time. We're fine. Calma. Defense is going to get settled. We have that mentality. And that's a clear example of that. So I was super proud of the boys to get that third goal.
Yeah, man. And especially in that way, it's just a moment of brilliance. That's why we have the players that we have for moments like that. To take that quarter of a chance, because it really wasn't even a half chance. It was just like, got it. He has the skill. We've seen so many players from the distance try to sneak that goal in, and it just goes awry. And the moment he left his foot, I was just like, money. Oh, I love it. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a little aroused thinking about it again. I mean, relax. Calma. Anything else about this match before we move it on to Sheffield? Yeah, cool. Well, Sheffield. Ake, he looked locked in, walking in the from the tunnel. Then the camera panned to the players, taking their final photo of the season with the trophies, or the final photo of the year with the trophies. And Halan doing his fashion team. He looked nice. It was a dope thing that City did. They did a memorial of all the people tied to City who have passed over the year. They also did Sheffield United. It's just, I really want to point that out because that was just a class from City, which I just really love this club. Just small things like that really matters. Starting 11 for Pep Squad was Ederson, Barriol, Ake, Akanji, Walker, Rodri, Kova, Grealish, Bowden, Silva, and Alvarez. Pep said, Alan still has a bit of time. In fact, KDB will be back before. Crazy thing to say. How was your experience seeing Kevin's name on the roster sheet for the first time since August 11th? Tarek, we'll start with you.
I was excited to see his name. I was glad that it was on the subs bench, and I desperately did not want to see him. I need him to be 100% right when he comes back. And, you know, again, I don't get to see the medical report or see how he does in training from day to day, so I have no idea. But I don't want to feel like we're rushing him back. It's been this long. Take the extra week or whatever. There's a break, a little bit of a break right now. Give him as much time as he needs to be 100% healthy, because he will effectively be like a new signing for the team as far as this season is concerned. And I don't want to risk him coming back too soon, re-injuring anything. We've managed fairly well without him. That's not to say we're not a better team with him, because I think we are. But I want him to get every opportunity to be right before he comes back. So glad to see him. That was a big milestone. Just he was healthy enough to be on the subs bench. Even to see him warm up, I was like, just run all you want to on the sideline. Do not step foot across that white line. I was like, Pep, do not put him in. So that's kind of how I felt as far as he was concerned.
He's so right, though. I mean, there's no way. Run up and down that sideline all you want. We know, first off, Pep's burner's out there, bro. Pep's burner is out there. His account is somewhere lurking. That man is up at night watching them old school mixtapes and old school videos of Messi doing his thing. He saw Messi get that famous little moment when he gets subbed on and everyone goes crazy. This motherfucker said, I'm doing it for Kevin. Knowing damn well I'm not playing that man. That's the biggest cap in the world. When I saw his name in the lineup.
Okay. I was like, the psych.
Nah, I was like, bruh, no way. This ain't real. So personally, I was calling Cap from the jump. I saw the name and I was just like, that's not happening. Sheffield, you're playing yourself, you're lying to yourself. If you think this man's first opportunity is coming off for fucking Sheffield.
He might as well put Scott Carson on the bench. What's he doing putting KDB there? What's he doing?
Tripping, bro. Tripping. Absolute tripping.
So the match begins with City getting a beautiful chance. Grealish to Foden, who showed his flair by laying the ball off to Alvarez. His shot at goal goes wide, but it was just a lovely start to the match. 4 minutes in, Sheffield, they kind of get their defense together, meaning City need to figure out how to break down their style of low block. Sheffield get the chance to play with their Route 1 football, ugly up the match, battle in the air, hope to win the second, third, even fourth ball if need be, which is one of the two ways to beat City. So, like, you know, I don't hate it. I mean, I hate it because it's awful football to watch, but you got to respect the game. And naturally, you know, the other is just score on your first shot at goal during the counter. Akanji spraying the ball all over the pitch from distance. Nowhere near the defenders who have a low block, trusting the players who are making the runs, which provides space for everyone. It was just really, I loved the forward runs. That's really was it. Like Foden, he did it all match, and the players were confident enough to make the pass and trust the player. And that's what just led to so much of the success in the match. And then the first goal, I actually didn't even take any notes for it. So I don't even remember who it was. I was just celebrating. Oh, yeah.
Wow, it was Rodri. Nice.
Yeah, Rodri in the 14th minute.
Oh, the little soft little Rodri rocket. Like, yeah, I mean, it was a little bottle rocket. It just like fizzed on the grass. Yeah, that was great. That was nice. It's what you need from Rodri. Shout out to Sharpie. He, I think he called the score line in the kickoff show, and he said one of them was going to – he also said Grealish was going to get something, and that didn't happen. But at least with Rodri, he said, we're going to get a Rodri rocket. He's due for a Rodri rocket. There we go. Shout out to Sharpie for that one. City get the first goal. Things are good, right? We're feeling good. No, none of us were really nervous about this match, were you?
Nah, not nervous. Just wanted to see good play.
So the first goal, how are we feeling after we get the first goal in then?
I felt good. I don't think I was nervous, but I don't know that I expected to go the rest of the half without scoring either. I thought we were going because, I mean, we were dominating the ball at such a level that I just felt like we have to get another goal here just because we had too much of the ball. So not nervous, but what I recognize is all it takes is one counterattack, one mistake, one drop of the concentration levels, and this match can be tied back up. So I wasn't nervous, but it was kind of pushing the team, go get the second goal, stop being complacent, stop being satisfied, go get the second goal and get it effectively now. But that saying that's being a little too demanding, so whatever, but no, go get this goal and let's put this game away.
I think it felt great. I think it felt great to be able to be the first team to get that goal, get ahead, be the initiator. I mean, I love that. It's just a breath of fresh air for me. And one of the first times prior to a game for City that I, instead of just asking for all this shit aggressively, like wanting it, I just said, you know what? I'm not asking for a clean sheet, which we got. I'm just asking for dominance and be the aggressor. Get the first goal. When we get that, that is just, I feel like there's another level of calma to some of the players. So that was really, really comforting.
Right after the goal, Sheffield didn't really seem to know what to do. I was asking myself, how long can the Blades hold on to the game plan? Which player starts scratching that itch, pressing too far forward, tries to cherry pick to take advantage of the chance of a counter? 20 minutes into the match, City are boss in possession, 78% of the ball. Minimal running. I was like, if this keeps up, subs won't be needed. Foden's runs really felt like he was mini Haaland when he was out there. His teammates feeding him the ball. Bernardo, he gets his own shot at goal. That fodder him. Had to scramble down to save. 27 minutes into the match. Light work. It's now 86% possession. Bernardo, another chance at goal, and he's bowled over. What I will say is the tackle was shoulder to shoulder, and Akanji does get away with those types of tackles a lot. Ref was super far away. But Pep did get himself booked for coming at the fourth official. Not gonna lie, I was also, that's why I couldn't be a manager. I'd be screaming at everybody always. 40 minutes into the match, City continued possession supremacy with 86%. Sheffield got their second chance at goal, thanks to a corner earned through a crossfield pass that caught Martial sleeping. That was like one of the moments in the match, really, that he wasn't focused. But other than that, he was great. Once City got out of that predicament, his countryman Kovacic put City back in hot water because he tried to force a pass to Foden, who had five Sheffield players around. Walker was the right pass in that situation. Thankfully, nothing came from that. Except for bad news, y'all. City's possession dropped to 82%. First half ends. How did City end the first half with only one goal? How did Sheffield keep us quiet with 82% of the possession? Is that too much possession? Let me let y'all talk because I just keep asking questions. Tarek, what were you seeing?
I mean, like I said earlier, just a little bit of a frustration with our inability to capitalize. You know, had all of the ball effectively, as you have already pointed out, but, you know, doesn't mean much if you can't put the ball in the back of the net. And so, I guess there was not really frustration, but I guess this a rising sense of, hey, we need this other goal and we need it soon. So that was pretty much it for me.
It was quite comforting to see the movement. Quite comforting to see the minimal amount of running, like Krunk was saying. I would say one of my underlining favorite parts to the game was the absolute spraying of Akanji. I mean, that guy was on one, man. He played his ass off. Probably one of my favorite games. I know he's had bigger moments for us. I love this game. I love this play in this game. It was huge for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Second half begins. Grealish gets pulled in the 50th minute due to a possible knock. Oscar Bob comes on. Ref, crazy thing. Ref was allowing Sheffield to rough City up in duels. Unfortunately, City weren't being given the same leniency in tackles. There were so many times a City player would just touch the defender in the back. Sheffield player would fall and the ref would blow the whistle. It was egregious. City had more fouls than Sheffield, with Kova having the only yellow card in the match. It was just kind of crazy. 58 minutes into, there hasn't really been much flow out because of all the start and stopping. City are able to get flow because they feed Foden. It's fine. City score thanks to Oscar Bob. He does a better move by slowing the ball down, taking a pause, forcing Sheffield players to make a decision. Bob finds a cutting Foden. He slides the ball across goal and multiple Sheffield players for the tap in. Man, that Oscar Bob, when he paused real quick and then laid it off to Foden, I lost it. That's where I am. I'm so deep in football, and that's what you're supposed to love. And the crowd enjoyed it also. Oscar Bob, the talent that he is, he really shouldn't even be talking about him right now because he wasn't the assist or the person who scored the goal. But, oh my gosh, do we have a gem there.
Smart minds know. No, you 1,000% need to be talking about him. Smart minds understand what we're dealing with here. I'm not going to say the G word. I'm hesitant to say the G word. Fuck it. I'm saying the G word. This kid's fucking generational. Really fucking good. He is really good right here. That man's mind is just incredible for me. I gave him a huge toast when he got his inaugural cap representing Norway. We did a lit stream. We've obviously been a big fan of his here over at Shades of Blue. And to see some of that action, the way it was developed, I forgot that he had slowed up the pace to actually bring that. What I was more thinking of is the sheer movement yeah, the vision, duh, we get that. But it was the fact that he was just in that role. The fact that he is coming knowing that the space is going to be filled. The fact that he was toying with, I don't know who was more to the left of him, that he could have played that ball that allowed Foden to cut right in. But Oscar Bob, man, golly, I'm absolutely amped up to be talking about every opportunity we get to see him on the pitch. Because it's coming, and he's the future, like our great Pep has said before. Yeah.
I try my best to not get too overly excited about young players because, you know, they're going to have their ups and their downs, and I don't want to be driven by, you know, just the moment. Oh, he had a bad game today, so he's horrible. He had a great game today, so he's the best ever. But it is hard when you see a player make a play that is exceptional. Like, there's not even, it's almost like, how did he manage to get the ball through there? Because it's like that opening wasn't really an opening. He did some magic and he did some razzle dazzle and the ball ended up on the other side of the player. And it's like, oh my God, how did he manage to get the ball through there? Because, you know, basketball is my first love, right? I came to soccer or to footy later, but I was a basketball player, point guard specifically. I like to think that I have, you know, pretty good court vision. I see things that are happening on the pitch, just like you do on a basketball court. And I did not see how he got that ball through there. And it's like, I didn't even, and not that I'm some, you know, whatever, but in my head, I'm like, oh, I didn't even see that. And that just goes to show how good of a player this kid is. It's like, I don't even see how he managed to get the ball there. And you're right that it doesn't show up on the stat line because, you know, Foden was the one that played the other ball across. He gets the assist, but none of that happens without Oscar Bob. When he came on, I didn't expect him to go to the left, actually.
Yeah.
I was debating if Pep was going to move Phil to the left and kind of play Oscar Bob through the middle because, again, we've never seen Bernardo on the left. We always see Bernardo on the right. We have seen Phil bounce back and forth. Typically, we've seen Oscar Bob either on the right or through the middle. So I was expecting him to pull Phil out there. So when he put Oscar Bob on that left side, I was like, I admittedly kind of was questioning Pep a little bit. It's like, why are you putting, I don't like to see players put in positions where they're not comfortable because when they don't show well, as a fan base, we want to kill people, right? And it's like, well, he wasn't put in his best position. Well, I shouldn't have had no need to worry. I should have just left well enough alone because, you know, Pep is obviously seeing this kid on the pitch in training and is like, I don't care where you put him on the field. Just put him on there and he'll make magic happen for you. And it just shows why this kid is a first teamer from Norway and playing for them. On the first team because he is that level of player, and he's only going to continue to grow. So it'll be great to see.
So the celebrations begin, and the KDB starts to warm up. Oh my gosh, it was such a moment of just shithousery from Pep, and I wonder, was it Pep from KDB? KDB being like, hey, you should just let me run real quick, knowing that the fans will lose their minds. Like, I wonder who was the mastermind in this situation. Yeah. Very intrigued. But it was beautiful. Diaz and Lewis come on for Walker and Kovacic. The match has basically from there turned into a practice drill. Everyone has a touch before you take a shot at goal. Alvarez almost snatched a goal. Since you guys are basketball people, I'm sure you guys know that drill during practice. I hated that drill. everybody's got to touch the ball at least once before you shoot. You had to always, and then there was always that one person that you really didn't want to pass the ball to, but you knew you had to pass the ball to him. So you then had to figure out what was the circumstance that you were going to get the ball to him. Who's going to cut? Like, I loved it. I love it. But that's basically what it was for the rest of the match. Alvarez almost snatched a goal with Fodderingham meandering on the ball. Chances really happened in the match, but no more goals. I'd like to talk about our players. The growth seen from them in the last few weeks. Alvarez being able to not be the main attack is best for him. He works between the shadows with the attention of Foden, Grealish, etc. It allows Alvarez to find that bit of space to get his tap in, to be where the ball lands, to snatch a shot at goal like he did in the first half. He's just, I was worried about him, talking about how exhausted he is and all the time he's playing. It is what it is with these players. He seems to have figured it out. I mean, it's good for him.
So when KDB goes down, he starts warming up, right? I've already said that I was pretty adamant that I did not want him to come on. Because again, it was only two. I didn't want him to come. If we were up 4-0 or something like that, okay, fine, bring him on. Even if somebody scores and he just might runs past him, that's fine. I don't care at that point. But I didn't want him to have to come on in a game that, in theory, was put away because we had so much possession, but yet in theory was available for them to hit us on the counter or whatever. And I just didn't want him to be in that position. So, but we're going to have a conversation at some point about what is the impact to the lineup when KDB is officially back?
Yeah.
Because you can't put him in without taking someone else out. Who is that
it's
someone?
Alvarez, right? It's Alvarez.
But is Alvarez, who's playing up top? Because Haaland's not in right now, so you're playing Alvarez up top?
No, Bernardo.
Bernardo's coming out or Bernardo's playing up top?
Bernardo's going to play up top.
I'm howling. I'm butt cheeks clenched. Bernardo was playing up top.
So when he was warming up, I was like, Pep is going to pull Foden and put KDB in, which I didn't want him to come in, so I was glad that he didn't do that. I think it's going to be hard when KDB is back, when Haaland is back, when Doku is back. What does that lineup look like? When everybody's full strength, it's gonna be a little. I'm not gonna say unfair, but like to say to Phil Foden, hey, go back out on that right wing. We're not gonna play you through the middle anymore, because he's thriving in the middle.
He's untouchable.
Alvarez has carried our attack while Haaland's been out. Do you tell him, oh, we'll play you back in the midfield, kind of that dual eight role? That's not really his best role. And we got KDB. Would you rather have Alvarez on the pitch than KDB? No. But yet, is it fair to a guy that's been such a vital part of our attack all season to be like, oh, go back to the bench? And, of course, everyone's going to play it, so I, whatever. But this is why Pep gets paid the big bucks, because he's got to answer these questions. And again, we know that Pep is going to rotate, so everybody's going to play. But if we had one match, we got to win it, Champions League final or something like that. Who's got to be out there?
Yeah, I figure why can't we just put KDB next to Rodri? KDB will do most of the defending. All you need to do is Rodri use KDB as the outlet. KDB sprays the ball to somebody, they do the running. Because we don't want KDB to do too much of the sprinting and gallivanting that he's been doing lately. If you just Rodri to KDB to Phil, then our Didaku are across over on the right to Bernardo. Aren't through to Halan. If he needs to make the run, he can make the run. But if we're going to be possession-based like that, I just, yeah, it's just Vardial and I'd assume, yeah, Vardial won't be going as far up. But it's going to be tough because, yeah, you can't take Phil out of that center spot. And if Daka comes on, you can't put him left. But Bernardo has to be on the pitch. Bernardo can make, even though he shouldn't have to, and I don't think he will, but he can make up for any of the running that he won't be able to do. Same thing with Halan. Hopefully when he's healthy, he'll be able to do the running and pressing that he was able to do last season. It's going to be weird. But I think you just have to put KDB next to Rodri. You don't really have to worry about finding that extra person. It's just, who's this Rodri backup that we're getting once Calvin leaves? Which I'm surprised. This is January 2nd when we're recording, and his announcement hasn't been yet. So, kind of shocked. Very shocked.
The obligation to buy. I think City are pretty adamant about the obligation to buy in the summer. And at this point, I 100% agree with them. I mean, we're not anything. This isn't a João Cancelo, let temperaments calm down and everyone reevaluate after emotions are done at the end. It's, no, everyone's logistically clear here. This ain't going to work. You want them now. You're permanently getting them in the summer. So we'll see on that, but. Two floating tens? Kevin and Phil together? Phil's single CDM? Three back? Isolate one winger? Question mark? Fuck the right wing. It's not anything. Bernardo's not a right winger. That's not an answer. Doku, dominate the left. Jack Grealish, sit the bench. Give me fire and spice with Doku and Haaland. Give me Phil and Kevin lurking for that ball, trying to get it in turn to find the fire and spice in Doku and Haaland, and call it a fucking wrap. I'm scared shitless for anyone trying to question the attack of any type of combination of Kevin and Phil trying to find that creativity. Oh, that scares the shit out of me.
Are we keeping, you brought up Calvin Phillips. Is there any chance that we wanted to keep him around till the Huddersfield match? Because, again, I expect us to rotate pretty heavily. That's an additional body that we could take advantage of and then send him on its way. I don't know that that's actually something that they would consider.
I love that.
But I would.
Well, it's one of those things you don't want to get him injured, but also if team doesn't want to agree with you playing him in a match, that's some hardball tactics. They're just like, all right, fine, then we'll play him. I don't care.
To your point, that's what happened with Leroy Sané. We played him, he ended up getting hurt and then put everything on pause for a year. Maybe you're right that we would run the risk of him getting hurt. That's probably a good point. I in my head, it's like, he's here, play him, because we want to rotate body. Anyway. Yeah, that's we want to rotate. So get Rodri off, put him in. There's no need for Rodri to play against Huddersfield. There shouldn't be a need for him to play against Huddersfield. Let's just go ahead.
Yeah, worst case, Nuna and Koba can handle
yeah,
that.
For sure.
That's, worst case. And then we can put in Calvin.
and we should be up big. So, and I know we're going to get a preview later, but we should be up big enough that we can give KDB his off-the-bench appearance to kind of get some run out in his legs before we get back to Premier League matches. So
let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I like that.
Wow. Shock all Premier League applause. We have Liverpool in first, Aston Villa second, City third, Arsenal fourth, Tottenham fifth, West Ham 6, Brighton in 7, down in relegation station, we got Luton Town, Burnley, and Sheffield United. Man, Newcastle struggling still. Everton, they're back on a losing streak. Begging for any other 10 points back now by now, because they are the spot outside of relegation. At this point, the mighty Brentford Bees, they have lost 5 straight matches. My show bros, who or what are you highlighting for your shock all Premier League of loss?
I have one name for you that I'm a bit shocked. I'm a bit in awe. And he deserves an applause.
Well,
Dominic Solanke, I want to salute you, sir.
Okay, well, then I see that.
You've been playing some really good ball. 12 goals so far for Bournemouth. 26 years old. You're kind of coming into your own right now. Getting limited opportunities when you get the ball. You're playing for fucking Bournemouth. You're not going to be dominating much when it comes to on that ball and that possession. For you to have the stats that you've had so far, you've been quite clinical. You're 3rd on the list at this point right now for goals behind our great Erling and Mohamed Salah. So shout out to you, Solanke. You're doing it, Dominic. Good to see. Been quite proud to kind of look over there and be like, he's an Englishman too. Maybe he gets a call up. Shout out to you. Yeah, but that's who I got right now.
I like that. That's a good one.
Staying in the vein of giving shout out to an individual player, I got to recognize my cousin Anthony Robinson, U.S. Men's National Team player, who was named in the Premier League Team of the Season so far. Left back, one that I threw out a while back, a couple of seasons ago, like, oh, maybe we should go for Anthony Robinson. Mostly that was me trying to get some American representation on the squad as well, especially since we were losing Zach Steffen. But he has continued to thrive at Fulham, and he seems to just continue to get better every year. So shout out to him. Kudos to him. Yeah. And then I don't know if it's an shock or an awe or definitely not an applause, but with AFCON and the Asian Cup about to kick off, it'll be interesting to see what the impact, you know, like take a snapshot of the table today. And then take a snapshot when AFCON and Asia Cup is done, and how drastic is the change that we see for those teams, especially, you know, again, for Liverpool, it's like, you know, for Salah going away, that's like for us, we're losing KDB or we're losing Haaland or whoever, right? In the middle of the season to go play in a different tournament and run the risk of being hurt and injured, which you hope that doesn't happen. But I know if I'm a Liverpool fan, I'm not superstitious, but I got every finger crossed and legs crossed, everything crossed, knocking on wood, all kind of little superstitious crap, because you don't want that man to get hurt. You actually, quite honestly, you want him to lose and come home. And by home, I mean back to England. So, we'll see what the impact of those two tournaments on the rest of the season is. So, good thing for us, we don't lose many players.
Losing the most players with 6, Brentford with 4, Arsenal with 3, Arsenal, United, and Tottenham with 3 players, Liverpool with 2, and they just threw City in there for fun. We aren't losing anybody. Yeah. I love it.
There's losing quantity, and then there's losing quality, right? And granted, if you are Nottingham Forest, you said 6 players, that is the best, you know, those, that's what you got, right? You got 6 players that are leaving it, but losing Salah, losing Heung-min Son, Losing those types of players, they're so vital to what their teams do. I'm not envious of having them, you know, move and having them leave. You know, again, go back to the days of even when Riad was here. Go back to the days when Yaya was out. So I you hate to lose one of your best players mid-season. So I just want to see what the impact of these two tournaments are going to be.
Nope. I'm going to pull a Terry. He's done this before. I don't want to big up anybody. I just want to say our team, we're the best. We are the shot call. And the really
I don't know that I've done that. I mean, I don't always sure follow the rules.
I think you've done that.
I'll talk about somebody from... Like, I've mentioned a team from Bundesliga sure or something, like, but...
No, I don't want to give anybody credit this week, so I'm not giving anybody credit.
Well, if that's the case, I don't ever want to give anybody credit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure you've done that once, because I was like, can you... Because I remember asking myself, I was like, can you do that? But Tarek, you do that all the time. I'll ask you a question and you'll just be like,
yeah, I make up my own rules. This.
And I'm like, wait, what?
See, my thing is this. I'm pretty sure I'm the oldest. And so I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest of my brothers and you know, my siblings. So I set the rules. I don't care what they say. I'm the boss because I'm the oldest. So, you know, you can sometimes I just got to step in and just, I'm not doing that. This is what we're doing. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No, it is what it is.
Crunk.
It is what it is.
T is that point guard. He's that veteran point guard that's played for you all those years, that knows the system, knows it like the back of his hand. And when he comes down after on a 12-0 break, we just need a bucket and you call a play, T's got it. T's switching it up. He knows
the routine. He's like, didn't mean that. He didn't mean that. This is what he meant.
No, he meant red X. We're not going white. He meant red X. We're going red X.
Huh? Oh, no, I thought you said, my bad.
Not red X, white? My bad. I'll run white next time. That's cool. Cool. I got you. Red X.
Oh, man. Before we get out of here, though, I want to look back at our first full year of doing Shades of Blue. Tarek, it's your first full season. I mean, Sharpie, Lando, you're the new guy, so that's super exciting. Let's start with you, Lando, as the new guy. How's the first few months at SOB been for you?
You know, it's a good question to ask. 90-day reviews probably around this time. Yeah. it's been good. It's been good. It's been fun to look and think about the game differently with the approaches. I mean it when I tell you I have got to get more of my women's city takes and get Tom in a room where I can get those breakdowns. Because I'm so amped about hearing his perspective, hearing some of the more of the trends that's coming. The window's open. It's my first transfer window with you guys. I'm amped about what could potentially come. Now, I know for the City Boys, it's going to be a little bit more quiet, right? We're going to be having more outs than anything. But we have not said a Claudio Echeverri yet. And I think we should probably mention that little Claudio Claro. That boy is a baller, but it's been fun, man. It's been fun to kind of interact. Yeah, I know. I agree. I'm stoked for it. Been fun to interact with some of the fans. Been fun to interact with some of the people that even have different perspectives. Nice little argument I got into with someone the other day about cannabis. Wonderful. Got into the DMs. Love it. It's a different perspective. Oh. It's a different approach. No, it's welcomed. It's welcomed. My DMs
yes,
are open.
Yes, no, naturally. I'm just like, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, you get approached, you get attacked about certain things. I have been, and it's not even other stuff. Somehow I got attacked on my Julius Randle takes by Shades of Blue people. But it's all love. It's all love. It's appreciated. It's welcome. You got something negative to say. I can take the criticism. I approach. I love it. I hope to get better. But it's been really fun to kind of enjoy this experience with you guys. Watch more ball, get different takes. I've been wanting to get more engaged with some of the city stuff on the website, seeing your ass on the show, on the pre-match show. I mean, that's just next level stuff. So since I've been here, man, it's been a fun, good, you know, first 90 days or so.
Derek, how's the SOB 2023 been for you?
Well, you know, I'm reading the rundown and it's like our first full year. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't remember exactly. Did we start like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, was it like April, May of 22 then? Is that what it was?
Yeah, somewhere around then. Yeah.
And I was like, cause I know we've been going for a while, but yeah, first full year, I suppose. It's great, man. You know, there are days where I see, because again, I'm on YouTube. I see these other content providers, not providers, but these content creators. And really, reality is I watch them and I'm like, I don't even want to be in the same conversation with these cats. Real talk. It's like, they're so horrible. I'm like, I don't even, like, I love this because I love you guys, right? I love being able to talk to you. And we, you know, we've always said that we would just do this because we just love talking the sport. And this basically gets four or five guys around the table and we get to just talk about it. I'm very, very grateful for the people who have become Shady Gang, right? The listeners, the people who interact with us, the people who jump on streams with us, who are there week in and week out. We can count on them being there. We don't take that for granted, and it's an amazing thing to think that we built something that people beyond the four of us want to be involved with. And that's really amazing. But there are days when I see other people, it's like, God, please don't ever make me do that, because I'll just stop. It's just like there's just, it's like, oh my God, they're just horrible. And so I'm appreciative of being able to do what we do, and you know, I'm looking forward to where it goes next. And I know we've got a lot of, you know, big things in store. You know, 23 was cool. 24 is going to be amazing. You know, it's something special, and you know, to be able to be a part of it is pretty cool. So I'll stop talking because I could just keep going, but glad to be a part of it. And like I said, to see where it has come from and where it is going to, is amazing. So yeah,
I've loved this ride. 2023 has been fantastic. I really, unfortunately, haven't really sat with what was last year, just because it's been so great. I want to keep it going. I can't really say any more amazing, dope, sentimental things than both my show bros said. They were fantastic. So I will talk about 2024, because 2024, we make an art, and it's over for you motherfuckers. I'm done playing nice. Either I'm working with you or I'm not. Either you're in my life or you're not. Who cares how anyone feels about us? Like, I realize I needed to stop what you guys think is me punching up when reality is punching down. But again, sorry. I said I was done with that. That was the last one. It was just got like, sorry. It's hard to change who I am completely. But you know, it's vibes. I'm here to just create the most dope original art that I can, connect with as many most dope people as I can, and get inspired off of them. Still start, and still, we're gonna continue making art for you guys. That's what this is. This is a football show, but we're making art. You guys
and
will learn.
Speaking eventually of great people that we're working with, Krunk, give me a healthy reminder of those wonderful folks coming on that lit stream on Thursday. One of those three beautiful people that we have
that
coming
is
through.
Very nice. Yes. So we have the most dope homie, Kevin Citizen. We always have a really great city guest on. He is our city guest. And then we have Nico Calabria. He is an amputee soccer player. He also coaches for the youth to help teach them how to play as well. And he led New England Revolution Amputee Soccer Club to win the 2023's inaugural Soccer Cup competition. And then Zach Lowy, the football aficionado, writer, contributor, most stoked human being and individual. Yes, we got some heat for you. And
go.
And you're going to be like, man, I can't believe he did it with this week with the guests. And then it's going to be next week. And you're going to be like, goddamn. And it's what I'm learning. This is what I love about the world and social media, because there's just like subsections and niches of people who are just like so dope. And it's like, I would never bump into you, even though we are in some of the same sectors, but in most of them we're not. And thankfully, because of the Lit Stream, I've been able to connect with so many great people. And then those great people, they enjoy us enough where they're like, hey, I actually think these people would be great. And they're all just like, hey, you're referred by that dope person? Okay, cool. Let's link. Like, so many of these conversations, it's really just like, hey, hi, what's up? What day? All right, I'll actually talk to you again 5 minutes before we go live on a show. None of this is prepped. Very little of this is planned. This is just us being as transparent and as we can, because like Tarek said, we won't be those clowns. If you feel like we start getting that way, please let us know. Shady Gang, that's why you got a family. That's why you got a Shady Gang. Let you know. All right. Hell yeah, baby. Here's the 2024. Huddersfield, real quick, with score predictions. Like, it's not serious. I think we're going to get 6. In fact, let me make it real. Let me make it real.
Yeah, Huddersfield.
Six. 6-0, baby. It's happening.
Yeah, I'll go 2 field goals. I'll go 6-1, because I think it's going to be hard to keep a clean sheet.
That's just true. That you do know Huddersfield is 21st in the championship. They are not scoring goals.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6-2.
Okay, I'll shut up. My bad. You're right.
Just when you say they can't score a goal against us, Ederson is going to accidentally kick it into the back.
Do not do that. Ederson will not. He's been fantastic.
He has been. So he good. Has been fantastic.
He's been so good.
Yeah.
Terry.
I was going to play I got 5 on it just because you said 6, but realistically, I think it's probably 3 or 4. But I think we're going to rotate quite a bit. The bigger thing for me for this match is who is back. Do we get Doku back? Do we get KDB appearance? I think that's more interesting to me than the final score. I think we win this match. I think we win it easily. But I want to see, you know, what does that lineup look like? So, and, you know, of course, Oscar Bob has shown what he can do. Do we get another appearance from Micah? Young Micah, was it Hamilton? Is that his last name? Do we get another appearance from him? You know, this would be a great chance to give him another go. So I think that's the bigger, more exciting thing. And of course, depending on the lineup, it will, you know, it'll affect the potentially affect the score line. So I think we win it easily. I'm gonna say 3 or 4 now.
And fingers crossed, Krunk, if we can get a contract extension for Micah Hamilton done by the end of the week, seeing that that was something that was being talked about, if we can get that, something we weren't able to get with Carlos Forbes, something we weren't able to get with other players that were in our academy coming up. One back in the day that I got to throw out there that might be going back to where he was loaned to. We weren't able to get a contract extension with a certain Jadon Sancho. So just, you know, these things that we want to do with certain players, right? Extend the right ones. T's absolutely right. Micah Hamilton is the perfect player that we want to extend. Cross your fingers. Let's see if we can get that done, boys.
Like we were saying, check out the Lit Stream this Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time. Follow our social media accounts at formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, YouTube. At least all those things are in the episode details. Just type in Shades of Blue Pod, Shades of Blue Man City. You'll find us. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to leave a comment, hit that thumbs up. If you prefer audio, rate and review the show on Apple Podcast. Why I said it like that. Spotify, or however you enjoy podcasts. We will read your review on the new episode of Shades of Blue. All right. Showgirls, Tarek, Lando, we'll start with you, Lando. Let people know where they can find you.
At Lando Martini on Twitter, underscore Lando Tinez on Instagram. And that's it, at Shades of Blue Pod.
For me, you can find me on Threads or on Twitter at Tarek Peterson, TarikPeterson, at Tarek Peterson on either Threads or Twitter.
I forgot to mention, next week, I will be chatting with Dylan Meehan. He and I will be talking about the City Newcastle match. Been trying to link up with him for a while and some time. So, yeah, Shady Gang, look forward to that also. A lot more collaboration, just random episodes are going to be dropping about random things from now on. Just look forward to. You thought we made enough episodes last year. You should know. It wasn't. We just getting started, baby. You know the vibes. Shady Gang, Shady Gang, Shady Gang.